You know, some of the samples that came back were really, really, really low in beta carotene. And so we decided to put the Victus in, and we ran it, I think, at the high level for a dairy cow, if I remember. I can't remember right off the top of my head what it was. I want to say 1,000, I believe. But anyway, we ran that and went back, I think it was about 6 months later. And we were shocked to see how much it had gone up. It had gone up considerably. And in that particular diet, we had been feeding pretty much corn stalks and a little bit of CRP hay that would have been poor quality brome in there at the best. So we were really lacking any type of green forage at all. Even though we were running a high level of vitamin A in the supplement, it just wasn't responding, I don't think, like the beta carotene did.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Give your cattle platinum protection with Virbac Bovagen Platinum Vaccines. Start your protection at us.virbac.com/platinum protection. Data shows most cattle don't get enough vitamin D, which can impact health and performance. High D from DSM Firmenich can help improve cattle's vitamin D status. Be proactive with Cattle Active. Visit ProEarthAnimalHealth.com today. Lallemand Animal Nutrition offers microbial solutions to boost animal welfare and performance. Control the cortisol surge and control your drug costs on your inbound cattle. Make the 21-day SHOT Show a thing of the past with QFA 2000.
Welcome to the Beef Podcast. I'm Travis Molinix, and today I have John Klein back on the show. Welcome to the show, John.
Thank you.
So, John, you are a consultant. So you have your own consulting company called CRF Consulting, correct?
Correct, yep.
But you've worked in the industry for a long time with different feed companies, et cetera.
Sure.
For the audience, I know you've been on the show and many people have heard and may know who you are at this point. But just give that overview of your experience, what you do today with CRF.
Yep. So basically, I've been in the consulting and sales business since 1990. Worked for ADM, Purina. I started my own business in 2015, and that was kind of a spinoff of some research that I was doing with ADM on using corn stover and crop residues as a treated forage to be fed to livestock to improve digestibility. So that's kind of how I started this business. And we make a 2,000-pound block, and we make some feedlot supplements here. And then I have minerals and other protein supplements that are toll manufactured for me through other feed companies. But the majority of our business would be what we manufacture here. And so I consult, I manufacture, and kind of do a lot, I guess. So
yep, quite a bit. So a 2,000-pound block, and if I remember right, that's a corn stover type of a press block.
Yeah, we had to go away from the corn stover because the company that was pelleting for me had some issues, and they had plant basically caught fire. So we're using some other forage. We use wheat mid soy hulls, corn cobs. Corn steep, and basically just a lot of commodities for the most part, but we're trying to increase the digestibility of the fiber sources that we're putting into the block.
And that kind of will curtail into what we're going to talk about today.
Absolutely.
But so you got a lot of experience in working with some of these supplements and some of these feed additives that you're trying to increase some digestibility in, you know, especially in some lower quality situations of some of our native range, et cetera.
Exactly, yep.
So we're going to talk about a few different products that DSM makes.
Yep.
So Victus Hi-D and BioFix Plus. Just give a brief overview of what these products are and how producers are utilizing them.
So I guess it was a few years ago, we were running into some issues with guys having vitamin A deficiencies in their calf crop. And it was showing up in the calves, weak calves and stuff like that. But also there were some issues with reproductive problems on the cow side as well. And so we started doing some digging, and, you know, it was pointing to vitamin A for the most part. And then we were also dealing with some drought at that time. And so there were some mycotoxins that were starting to show up on feed samples that could have been the culprit that we were looking at. But anyway, I was working with one of DSM salespeople that was a colleague of mine from my ADM days. And we started visiting, and he said, well, why don't you send a sample into the lab and we'll see what you got for mycotoxins. And we did that. And to my surprise, there was a lot more than what I had anticipated. And predominantly it was on the corn stover. And that's one of the things, you know, and unfortunately, this was a seed stock producer. And so they never have enough pasture. And so they're trying to figure out ways to dry lot cows. And you know, they're going to use the cheapest possible forages that they can. And by doing that, you know, you run into the possibility of getting corn stalks that were put up, poorly, or possibly just coming from a drought area, they're looking for some other types of forage to feed.
And that's probably especially the case in the Midwest area where you're at, with a lot of corn, limited, you know, forage supplies, because in the last, you know, 15 years of more corn acres went up, and cow-calf producers had less forage availability. Great. So looking for these alternative, you know, feeding systems and dry lots feeding systems, right?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, and with that, you know, corn, when the corn was $8, you know, chopping silage became kind of a thing of the past, especially if you had a distiller plant close. So you'd use distillers and corn stalks to basically replace your silage and sell your corn. But anyway, so it was through all those things that opened our eyes to some potential problems. And the biggest one was basically, you know, the mycotoxins. But then at the same time, we started visiting about the potential of that vitamin A issue, going back to not feeding any or very limited amount of green forage. And so Dan came out, we did blood tests on three different herds, basically. And it was pretty eye-opening. You know, some of the samples that came back were really, really, really low in beta-carotene. And so we decided to put the Victus in, and we ran it, I think, at the high level for a dairy cow, if I remember. I can't remember right off the top of my head what it was. I want to say 1,000, I believe. But anyway, we ran that and went back. I think it was about 6 months later, and we were shocked to see how much it had gone up. It had gone up considerably. And in that particular diet, we had been feeding pretty much corn stalks and a little bit of CRP hay that would have been poor quality brome in there at the best. So we were really lacking any type of green forage at all. Even though we were running a high level of vitamin A in the supplement, it just wasn't responding, I don't think, like the beta carotene did, which kind of is odd, but I don't know why. But, and it could also have been that we were also picking up some mycotoxins. So we also started feeding BioFix at that time, or the BioFix Plus. And so the BioFix Plus, I've got probably 5 guys now that are on BioFix Plus, and most of them are seed stock producers. And the reason why is we're running into some abortions, late term abortions. And that was about the time that they really started feeding them their TMR. And so they had come off a pasture and they were out on corn stalks for a while. And then they brought them in and were getting ready to, you know, calve in 60 days or so. And all of a sudden they started having abortions, and we pulled samples and sent them in. And sure enough, there was quite a high level of mycotoxins in those situations as well. So it was just, you know, it was kind of a no-brainer. Put the BioFix in and see if it helped. And it did. It helped substantially in the one guy's situation for sure. But back to the beta carotene deal. So we drew the blood pre and then did a post. It wasn't 100% scientific, in my opinion, but it gave us a general idea. And so, you know, we got good results in the response of feeding the beta carotene. But the big thing that I would say the customer has talked about the most is, you know, 2 years ago at this time, he was calving and having a lot of problems. You know, calves breaking with scours, and there was all different kinds of issues going on, reproductive issues, and things just kind of on a train wreck, quite honestly. And we were doing everything we possibly could. I mean, this guy wasn't afraid to spend money on things that would help. And we tried a lot of different things, and it was just like we weren't getting anything accomplished and kind of spinning our wheels until we started feeding, well, in my opinion and in his, you know, the Victus and the BioFix. And then we incorporated the Hi-D in the last 60 days of calving, or 60 days prior to calving.
Yeah.
So we wanted to get that kicked off in there. And so now we're basically, he's got a fall calving herd and a spring calving herd. And our biggest problem typically is in the spring calving herd. And this year, knock on wood, things have been very, very good. We kind of had a drought again last year. And, you know, that's kind of kicking off the problems for us, is when we get in those really dry years and we have to go to poor quality forages.
So is he feeding it in both of the spring and fall calving herds?
Yep. The BioFix, anything that's on a TMR is going to get BioFix. All the other ones, whether it's a TMR or out on pasture, we kind of cut back a little bit on the level of beta carotene that we'll feed through the summer, especially if they've got some grass.
Right.
You know, unfortunately, a lot of his cattle are going to be maybe on pasture, but they're going to get fed something on pasture. So he's just kind of limping them along, and they pick a little bit of green up. But one of the things that we also found interesting is I had one customer that was buying recip cows, and he had bought like 30 head of recips. And when we ran them through on blood test, they came up higher in the beta carotene, and they stayed bred. And so, you know, it was kind of that little light bulb went off, and so that was interesting. And then I had another guy that bought some cows that came out of a drought area, and their beta carotene levels were super low. Well, they're basically not eating any green forage because it's all gone. That's why they sold the cows. So those are type of things that have opened my eyes to the potential for us to be missing a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of goes back to, okay, is it the beta carotene or is it the mycotoxins or a combination of both? And I honestly think it's both.
You know, the beta carotene thing is interesting. We've known for a while that vitamin A requirements are probably not quite right.
I agree. Yeah.
You know, and maybe poor sampling error back when those were established. And so there's a lot of interesting research with vitamin A, of some of it giving shots of vitamin A shots versus actually feeding and increasing into a mineral. But your comment of saying that, you know, maybe vitamin A in mineral may not be always beneficial as beta carotene. And, you know, we've had troubles with plant closures of getting vitamin A, high cost of vitamin A. And so this may be one of those avenues of if there's increased bioavailability, increased utilization of converting it to vitamin A, are we seeing a better response with this versus increasing vitamin A in a mineral package?
Based on what I'm seeing, I've been 3x the level of vitamin A on some cows before, and I quite honestly don't think it made very much difference at all. So is there something else that's more to it than just the vitamin A issue? Possibly, it probably is. But, you know, by pulling blood on those cows, that was a eye opener for me. And I think that's important, you know. I don't know if there's a simple way to do it. It wasn't easy to do it, but having the DSM guy come out and help, that was great. But I don't know, if are they making anything simple to test it with? Or, I mean, you got the little tester at the on site, but if a person doesn't have access to that, how difficult is it to do it?
Yeah, for a producer, it's not going to be easy to test, you know. But it does seem like there needs to be a lot more research focused on comparing the two. Mm-hmm. You know, what is the correct vitamin A requirement? But are there other alternative feed additives that are a little more effective of maintaining that storage of vitamin A and increasing production, especially when we go through these drought scenarios that are going to be increasing, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, the Midwest is in a drought right now.
You bring up something else there that I think is interesting, because one thing that's definitely picked up in our area is cover crops. And so how people are looking at their cover crops and the value of those cover crops, I think that's also going to influence how beta carotene we can possibly get into the cows.
Right.
You know, because we got guys that are grazing ryegrass right now and it's green as a gourd. Is rye the right feed? I don't know. I mean, I know it's green and they're eating it. And so they got to be picking up some goodies from that. You know, and I think a person could look at some fall grazing stuff as well that you could look at, maybe oats or something after a bean field or something like that. That's short lived, but actually provides some extra grazing for the cows. It's a green forage.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a short window of storage of 2 to 3 months of storage of vitamin A. And you know, some of these cover crop grazing may help. But then what's that time point between calving and breeding, especially if you get dry? Are you going to be short again going into the breeding season before they go out on green grass or even get green grass?
Yeah. And, you know, in my opinion, when you're talking about raising seed stock, and this particular guy went from selling 40 bulls to 80 bulls this year, 74. So he went up substantially. And 90% of that's because we got more cows settled and bred, you know. Not that it was a complete train wreck there 2 years ago, but it was not good. And he's been able to put a few more numbers in, but getting things to actually settle and have a baby, that's the key. And then keep the baby alive. That's the other one.
That's big, especially when you talk about cost of, or the price of calves today, mm-hmm. whether or not that's, you know, from a commercial side or from that seed stock side, is losing a calf is a large loss.
Yeah, it's in my opinion, it's very affordable for the seed stock person for certain. And with the price of calves today, I can honestly say it's definitely worth putting it in, even on a commercial standpoint.
You know, we briefly talked about BioFix, and I know you're using it for mycotoxins. Is that the original standpoint of using BioFix? Was it from a mycotoxins? You know, you see a lot about mycotoxins, especially on the dairy side of feeding TMRs, of some of these high moisture corn mm-hmm. type of corn silage, etc. But we don't think about mycotoxins a lot on the beef side.
Right.
And with some of these changes in productions of how we're feeding cows, of going to more dry lots, going to more, you know, corn silage diets in a lot of areas, mycotoxins will be a bigger deal.
Yeah, for without a doubt. And, you know, I think I just don't think people realize, especially where I'm at with all the corn, there's a ton of corn stalks get put up. And they can look beautiful and they can smell great and all this and that. But when you send them in, it's like, whoa, where did that come from? And there's more there than a person realizes, especially in a year where there's been stress on the plant. And so, you know, is that also in the alfalfa hay crop? We haven't tested a whole lot of alfalfa, but we've tested a lot of corn stalks and corn silage and some of the byproducts. I mean, sometimes the byproducts will have some things, but usually you would think the byproducts would be the culprit. I would. That's kind of my first thought is, okay, it's a byproduct. Well, it's not. I mean, a lot of times it's the forage portion of the plant. And so not saying that that's going to be the case all the time, but that kind of points to it pretty quick. And And we're feeding a high percentage of that. We're not feeding very much corn and not feeding very much byproduct to the cows. I mean, feedlot cattle, obviously we are. We're just the opposite. But it seems to me like on these diets where we're trying to dry lock cows, it just gets to be an issue.
You know, historically, especially in the Midwest, especially in the Dakotas, there was a lot of dry lot cow feeding in the winter. Mm-hmm. But that's gotten a bigger deal today with increased in corn production or corn acres, limited grazing land of seeing guys going to at least longer term dry lot scenarios. And so I think this is going to be a bigger issue in the Midwest of, you know, we're feeding cows for longer periods of time.
Without a doubt. I mean, I drove down one of the major highways that I drove down, you know, years ago in my sales time. And I would say 70% of that pasture ground is row crop now. And, you know, they go from getting $40 an acre cash rent for the pasture 10 years ago to getting $230. You know, it's a no-brainer why they did it. And the same thing's happening in certain parts of the Dakotas, you know, where they used to raise, where it used to always be pasture. They figure they can raise 150 bushel corn, and they can. And so, you know, it's going to be something that we're going to continue to battle with. And, you know, they're going to feed the residue if they can. They're either going to graze it or bale it. So we just got to figure out how to deal with it. And BioFix, in my opinion, is a great solution. And so far, as near as I can tell, it's been working great. I highly recommend it to anybody that's feeding a high percentage of corn stalks without even looking. I just tell them, you need to feed BioFix. And we put it in our block, or we'll put it, you know, in their TMR, however they want to do it. But we can do it either way. So
have you found any performance differences by just adding BioFix into those rations?
I would say 90% of the people that have fed it, their abortions have gone completely away.
So it's more on the abortion side, not necessarily.
That's what they're using as their barometer. And you know, when you go out and you see an animal that you stuck a $3,000 or $4,000 embryo in and she's bulling, that's not a good sign.
It's not. The tough part is, unlike the dairy industry, that they can tell the next day with milk production if any changes, right?
Right.
We have very tough measurements of did this result in a change?
Right.
But that's a big one is, you know, decreasing those late term abortions that were popping up from, you know, the mycotoxins, et cetera, is big.
Yep. And that's just it's not a good feeling when they see that happening. And so, you know, it's kind of a 911 deal, and it needs to, I think it needs to be fed all the time if you're going to try to feed corn stalks to cows.
Yep. Yeah.
And because we don't know what they're going to be from one day to the next.
Right.
And from one field to the next, quite honestly, it's all field related.
It's time for our famous three.
Everyone knows vitamin D affects bone formation, immunity, and growth. What everyone doesn't know is research shows cattle don't get enough vitamin D. High D from DSM Firmenich optimizes health and growth with a more bioavailable form of vitamin D. And data shows high D fed heifers weighed over 8 pounds more at weaning. Don't let your cattle be vitamin deficient. Meet the growing needs of your herd year round with high D. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/hy-d.
Well, I've got a couple of questions here. And the first one is, what is your go-to highly recommended beef resource? Could be book, website. What do you recommend someone utilizing?
I go to the university website, sometimes to the University of Nebraska or Iowa State. Just depends on what I'm kind of looking for. Sometimes I just Google, and it'll take me to University of Missouri or somewhere else, you know. I just kind of go with that. It's quick. It's simple. It's specific. I don't have to go search through a 500-page book to find an answer. And it happens quick, and I can do it on my phone. If I'm standing next to a customer, I can type something in and start kind of checking off the list of things that might fit but you know, it's just kind of a starter point.
Yeah, that extension service is a great resource for producers. Mm-hmm. So what is, in your opinion, what makes a successful beef professional compared to someone that isn't successful?
I think the people that pay attention to not just their cost, but to the environment that's around them, as far as what's going on with the weather, those type of things start to become more and more important, especially after you've had a 2 or 3 years of drought. Mm-hmm. Paying attention to those type of things, obviously keeping your costs in line is critical, but at the same time, those other things are influencing our business bigger than we realize. We don't understand that until it's a year later and you don't know why you don't have any hay around, or you know, you put up 40 bales per cutting less because of the drought. And, you know, and then all of a sudden you're trying to grow your cow herd and you don't have any feed.
Right.
So those are the type of things I think just become pretty important, paying attention to what's going on in the environment. So,
yeah, because a lot of that stuff can creep up on you. If you're not paying attention, you know, you get in those situations of you didn't see it coming. And so paying attention and documenting as you go.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, you can catch that stuff much quicker and it won't creep up on you.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, John, thanks for your time.
Absolutely.
Some really cool products at DSM that you guys are working on that could really benefit a lot of beef producers that are feeding some of these corn stover, corn stalks, corn silage that may be having some impact. And again, the beta carotene stuff is really interesting of some of the impact.
Appreciate the time.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.